الحمد لله وكفى وسلاما على عباده الذين اصطفى ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن تعجل في يومين فلا اثم عليه ومن تاخر فلا اثم عليه لمن اتقى واتقوا الله واعلموا انكم اليه تحشرون وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غفر الله للحاج ولمن استغفر له الحاج او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام وكان دعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للحجاج حين رجعوا الى بيوتهم انه عليه الصلاه والسلام قال غفر الله ذنبك قبل الله حجك وغفر ذنبك واخلف نفقتك او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي امني واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي My dear respected brothers, elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the tawfiq to be in front of everyone here again and to allow me to see everyone's beautiful faces, mashallah ta'ala. I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he accept everyone here and that he, it's been a while since we met. May Allah ta'ala make it joyous reunion, inshallah ta'ala, and allow us that we have more and more Jumu'ahs together, inshallah, more and more time together in this life and the hereafter. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. It's a sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, hadith of Tabarani, that whenever the Hujjaj would come back, the Prophet alayhi salam would make three du'as for them. He would say, Qabil Allahu Hajjak. And we can all try to read the du'a, inshallah. Qabil Allahu Hajjak. Wa ghafara dhanbak. Wa akhlafa nafaqatak. Which means, may Allah accept your Hajj. May Allah forgive your sins, Ameen. And may Allah replace all the wealth that was spent in the way of Hajj. Ameen. The beautiful du'a that the Prophet taught us, may Allah give us tawfiq to ask the Hujjaj and request them. There's certain adab, and we have to learn these adab of deen. The adab of deen is that when a Haji comes back home, that a person goes up to them and say, to request du'a for them, and request that they sort of seek forgiveness for them on their behalf. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said in the beautiful hadith, he said, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لِلْحَاجِ Allah has forgiven the Haji. When he istaghfar lahu al-hajj, and the one that the haji seeks forgiveness for, then that person is also forgiven. Mm-hmm. And this is a beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So it's an adab. It's an adab that we do. Even if they're younger than you, even if they're like 18, 19 years old, we still go to them and seek their forgiveness, ask Allah for us on our behalf, that Allah to forgive us. And may Allah give us all tawfiq. I have so many stories I want to share with everyone. So many, an amazing, wonderful trip. Really, Allah Ta'ala just blessed. It's just an honor. Again, I felt like myself personally being on the last, the entire list of the Hujjaj. I felt like I was the last one, and not really deserving to be there among such incredible, amazing people. And I, inshallah, will just share maybe one or two points in this Jumu'ah, especially because my throat won't let me give the Jumu'ah that I want to give. But just certain things that I observed, inshallah ta'ala. And then maybe when I have a better, more enough time, maybe in a khatira, halaqa, inshallah, I can really just go out and just explain exactly how I felt, personally speaking. But there are a lot of things that we learn. In the ibadah which is called Hajj. When it comes to salah, the purpose of salah is what? وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ That when you're in prayer, you're supposed to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah that tells Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, وَأَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ Establish prayer for my remembrance. When a person is fasting, what is the purpose of fasting? Allah that says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that a person can become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their day in and day out ordinary lives. When they're fasting in Ramadan, the point of fasting was that a person become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7, 7 days a week, without any miss in that, any lapse in that, they become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the point of Hajj? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the purpose of Hajj is that you fear Allah ta'ala, you get taqwa, number one. And the second one is what? وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ Know that you will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know that you will all go back to Allah ta'ala. It is a knowledge, وَعْلَمُوا Basic knowledge, basic education. The ABCs of a Muslim that a person knows as a Muslim, that one day I'm going to die, and one day I'm going to be resurrected. And because of that resurrection, the qiyamah that's going to happen for you and I, that will check my life. Put me in perspective. Never let me do something wrong. If I'm inside my house, outside my house, I will never be a zalim. Because I know Allah will grab the zalimin on qiyamah. When I'm about to feel like I want to miss my prayer, I tell myself Allah will bring me back one day. And He will question me about why I miss my prayer. When I'm about to take a house on riba, when I'm about to do something on interest, when I'm about to smoke something or drink something or talk to someone of the opposite gender that I'm not supposed to be talking to, everything will be put into perspective once I realize I'm going to die. When a person realizes this, then what is Hajj for? Hajj is for that exact purpose. One small little point I'll mention outside of Hajj is what? Because it's my first time ever going to the Haramain Sharifain. And going there, mashallah ta'ala, it was an amazing, wonderful experience. I can't describe it enough, and I can't explain it enough. And I thank Allah ta'ala for giving me this experience. Allah ta'ala really mentions the Quran. He says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. Subhanallah. He says, لِيَشْهَدُوا. They have to make shahada. They have to make shahada. I want everyone here, inshallah ta'ala, young or old, if you haven't performed Hajj yet, make intention this year. Because why? It's not something I can just talk to you about. Like I mentioned, I've been studying it for 10-something years. I've been giving bayan here for so many times. You've seen me give fadail of Hajj, the masail of Hajj. I can talk about these things in such detail. But Allah Ta'ala says, you have to make shahada. You have to see it. You have to experience it. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. To see the benefits of Hajj, you have to actually be there. You can't just talk about it and just say it's in the books. You actually have to go there and then ask Allah Ta'ala to give you the experience. لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ. When you first go into the Kaaba area, subhanAllah, seeing the Kaaba is an old experience in itself. But seeing the ocean of life, the ocean of insaniya, the ocean of humanity, the real ocean that's really in this life is what? That people are just making tawaf around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't it look like an ocean to you and I? When you're going in there, you see the shallow end of the water. The shallow end of the water. When you're in the outskirts of the mataf area, the area of tawaf, you see that it's very shallow there. And then what happens is what? Certain parts of it become deeper. When you go deeper and deeper into the water, getting closer to the Hajjul Aswad, it becomes even deeper, subhanAllah. Allah is giving us these beautiful examples where in life, where you're going around in circles, and then ultimately what? You'll find that at the end of every single round of tawaf, it becomes what? For anyone who's made tawaf, you'll find that it becomes so difficult at the end of the round. Why? Because everyone's trying to go towards the Hajjul Aswad and they're trying to go to the Black Stone and to kiss their hands. But they're all pausing there and stopping. And so you find this crush, this difficult part. And Allah is teaching us at that moment that at life sometimes feels like it's so simple and easy. But the time that maut and death comes, it's going to feel like a big squeeze. A very difficult experience is going to happen to people. And I imagine that everyone's experienced it, but no one has ever thought about it. So Allah is teaching us that when you're going around in tawaf, that every single way you go around the Kaaba, for every single corner you go around, it's easy. But the last part of the Kaaba, the corner that you turn that corner, you find the difficulty in the push now. Similarly in life, what's going to happen is when we get closer and closer to death, that it becomes very difficult for us now. So at that moment, you have to be able to say, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. At the time of maut, you're able to say, La ilaha illallah. Allah is teaching us so many things. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet, it's mentioned in our deen, the reason why we're going around left, we're going counterclockwise. Why? Because our hearts are supposed to be closer to the Kaaba Sharifa. Ibrahim alayhi salam wanted that our hearts are always connected to this place. When a person raises their hands and says, Allahu Akbar, anywhere in the world, it's an amazing feeling. Anywhere in the world, we're all facing the Kaaba. It's an amazing feeling that even when you're back home, you can be in the office in Manhattan, but you'll still be connected to the Makkah in Saudiya. You'll still be connected to that area just because of your heart being there. And that feeling of making tawaf, of walking, the Prophet ﷺ said in a beautiful hadith, he said that tawaf is like prayer, except that you're allowed to talk in tawaf. You're allowed to talk, but doesn't mean that it's okay for you to talk. The Prophet ﷺ said that it's like a prayer. You're supposed to be like in prayer. You see people doing all these ajeeb things. All these ajeeb things. If there's a million people there, there's a million mistakes. And you and I being the faqih of the ummah, allama fahama, we're being so intelligent, we have so much ilm of deen, we want to critique and criticize everyone. We want to do that. Because why? Because we know how to make tawaf better than everyone else. That's how we are. That we want to look at everyone around us and say, this guy's taking an Instagram right now. This one's taking a selfie. This one's showing his mom how the Kaaba looks. This one is talking to his family. This one's laughing and joking. This one is like, you know, he's making the tawaf the wrong way. You know, like you're getting upset at everyone around us. But the point of tawaf wasn't for you to be looking around. In salah, where is your eye supposed to be? Towards the ground. The Prophet ﷺ, he told us what? That if you look around in salah, shaitan is stealing from your prayer. Aisha radiallahu anha said, how does he steal? Is that you start to look around in the prayer. Similarly in tawaf, a person should just be keeping their gaze low. You're in salah. What are you doing looking around? What are you doing criticizing the person left and right of you? It doesn't matter. Because why? Because they're the Diyuf al-Rahman. They're the guests of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala likes something about them. Allah Ta'ala likes something about them. One sheikh in teaching his students about how things will be on the Day of Judgment, he told his students at the end of a course that he designed, he said that, I want you all to make awards. And I want you for every single person in the... He said, for every single person in the classroom. He said, for every single person in the classroom that came for the course, I want you to give them an award. So then the students start to brainstorm. They start to say, what awards can you give? Best attendance. The kid who sat in the front, the majority of the class. In best grades. Most attentive. Ask the most questions. But if there's 30 kids, like, how can you give an award to everyone? How can you give an award to everyone? And so they brought back the list to their sheikh and said, oh sheikh, this is the list we came up with. We only came up with about 5 or 6 awards. And then the sheikh said, that's all you can come up with. They said, yeah, that's all. So the sheikh got it. He said, this one smiled the most. He said, this one, you know, made good eye contact. This one sat up. This one, when he fell asleep, he didn't sleep for too long. Like strange things. You're like, what is he doing? But the students realized that the sheikh was teaching them something. He said, the sheikh wanted to teach us that on Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala makes so many excuses for you and I to go to Jannah. That you and I made one good namaz, one good salah, one good tawaf, one good zikr, and Allah Ta'ala says that's good enough to put him in Jannah. And that's how people should recognize when people are making tawaf. Why are you and I criticizing 1 million people here? Each one of them was given tawfiq by Allah to come because Allah Ta'ala likes something about them. For you and I to judge them is for you and I to invalidate our own tawaf. Waliyadu billah. And so you notice this beautiful, amazing feeling of tawaf just going around. These people are pushing you and shoving you, but you just let everything go. Why do you just let everything go? You know, if it was in the street, back in the streets of New York, that'd be a fight. This guy stepped on your feet when you're making tawaf, that's it. We're going down the block, we're finishing it right now. But when a person's making tawaf, everyone's pushing and shoving, and you just let it go. Why? Why are we letting it go? Because something bigger than this. There's something much bigger than this. That I want my ibadah to be accepted. And so when a Muslim pushes or shoves me in this world, when a non-Muslim pushes or shoves me in the world, when life pushes me or shoves me in this world, I just let it go because I'm worshipping Allah Ta'ala. Amazing things we learn if we just focus on this tawaf. We don't get distracted when we're doing it. Then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, what does He do? You get the feeling and the blessing of tawaf. But when the 8th day comes of Dhul-Hijjah, Allah Ta'ala tells us all, tawaf is not the good ibadah anymore. You all have to go to Mina. You all have to go to Mina. And you have to go with Mina with what? A small little suitcase. And you go there and you get surprised at the tent. You're like, my God, the sleeping space is so small. It's so tiny. And don't worry, I'm not complaining about it. I'm making a point here. You go there, you go with your small suitcase. And you go there, you see your sleeping spot. You're like, man, I'm just right next to the next brother. Man, his breath, I can almost smell it. I can almost smell him. It's a weird experience you're feeling. And you're just wondering, like, why are we putting in this small place in the suitcase you bring? You're like, okay, I'm going to be in Ihram for 2 days. You bring one pair of clothes to change into. And then, man, the one pair of clothes that you have, it gets dirty. You're like, dang, I should have brought 2 pairs of clothes, right? That would have been smarter. And then you forgot your deodorant. You forgot the shampoo. You forgot this and that. You forget. You're like, man, I forgot all these things I needed. And then you're like, why did I bring this? Why didn't I bring a first aid kit? I didn't even need that, you know? You didn't need all these things. And then you're wondering, like, man, the suitcase I brought was just completely not right. And that's what's going to happen to us when we hit our graves. Many of us are going to find out that we didn't pack the right way. That what we're supposed to do in our graves is that we're supposed to bring good deeds. But we didn't bring the right ibadat. And then we brought things that we didn't need, like sins. And they're going to say, Ya Allah, why did I bring this with me? This is the feeling a person gets when they go into Ihram with that small little suitcase they have. And then you can imagine why we have such small places to sleep in. That's your qabr right there. You're literally, as a person who's dressed in Ihram, a man who's dressed in Ihram, is in the exact clothes of kafan. Because when a sahabi who passed away during Hajj, the Prophet said, bury him like he is. For 2 reasons. Number 1 is that the kafan that he has is the exact Ihram that he's wearing. You just flip the shroud on top and it becomes a proper kafan. And then secondly is because Nabi Sallallahu said that the Haji be resurrected making labbaik. So Nabi Sallallahu said, let him die, let him be resurrected like that as well. The beautiful things that we learn if we're just paying attention. That we're in there. And then Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah gave the brothers and sisters who went that beautiful day of Arafah. And this is one of the most unique things is what Alhamdulillah, but Allah does fadl and karam. We don't deserve it. We never deserve anything. We go to Hajj to complain about everything. We go to Hajj to get upset about everything. We go there because why? We want to brag about being the Haji. Haji Sahab. It's such a great title to have. Yes, fulfilling your... Imagine someone said you're a musalli because you pray five times a day. You keep roza, so the roza gar. You know, you're a person who does roza all the time, Ramzan, mashallah. You know, it's like pretending like something to brag about. The title of Haji, the title of Alim, the title of Hafiz are all amanat on this person, whoever has these titles. Because now they're responsible for something. You know, this is the idea. When a person comes on Arafat, they're making dua and dua and constant dua. Allah Ta'ala made it so easy, subhanAllah. He sent down rain for us. He sent down rain for us. I don't know if anyone's ever even experienced it. It's a real fadl to us. Anyone's went, alhamdulillah, bin alameen. And make dua for those hujjaj who went there, because they were making dua for you. I was certainly making dua for everyone here, mashallah. And I hope that everyone makes dua for me, for my forgiveness and my acceptance, inshallah. Arafat was such an amazing day. You're just raising hands and Allah Ta'ala just wants you to make dua. From beginning to end, you're just making dua. Constant dua, mashallah. The entire day you're making dua. The best place to be in the entire world is Arafat on that day. You're not even allowed to go make tawaf anymore. You have to be there and make dua. Because Allah Ta'ala wants to listen to everything that you want to ask for. And He's boasting and bragging to His angels and saying, look at my slaves. And everyone here on that day was fasting because of shukr to the people who were in Arafat. And then the next day everyone had Eid. Because why? Because on that day, mashallah, I had so many more things to discuss. Not enough time. Muzdalifah, when you go to Muzdalifah, Allah Ta'ala brings you back into the realm. And people get upset. And it's right to be upset, and right to be frustrated, and right to be annoyed. The most difficult parts of Hajj are going to be Muzdalifah, ultimately. And the fact that you're staying in Mina for some time. These are difficult parts. It's admittedly so. Because Allah Ta'ala wants to test us. You came as the guest of Rahman. You came into the Haram area. It's a sacred area. You have to be forgiven of sins. You can't just be there. When the angels are making tawaf, you have to understand they're pure angels. They don't have any sins on them. When you and I are making tawaf, we're gunagar, we're sick, we're sinful. We have so many mistakes on us. When a person is in Hajj, we have a lot of sins. The difficulty will forgive all the sins, inshallah. And then secondly, what happens is what? When you go through that difficulty, you recognize something. That am I worshipping Allah or am I worshipping myself? That I come here so that I can enjoy the hotels. That I come here so I can enjoy the shopping. That I come here so I can enjoy whatever I can enjoy for my nafs. That I want Allah to serve me, or that I come to serve Allah. That's what a person will feel when they go for Hajj. And so when Muzdalifah comes and Allah strips away all the hotels, He strips away all the food, He strips away all the beds, He strips away everything. He says, the ground, you and the sky. That's all you have. The ground, you and the sky. Now you figure it out, are you worshipping yourself or worshipping Allah? And those people who slept in Muzdalifah, millions of people are there. Millions of people are there. Lights are on. People are talking, discussing, complaining about everything. It's a very difficult night. And you'll sleep the soundest sleep you ever slept. Because if you worship Allah Ta'ala, He'll give you sleep. He doesn't need a bed to give you sleep. He doesn't need you, the people to be quiet to give you sleep. He doesn't even need the lights off to give you sleep. Allah Ta'ala will give you sleep. When they try to wake me up for Fajr, I didn't almost wake up because of how good the sleep was. And I'm telling you, I have sleeping problems. I do. I don't. It's very hard for me to sleep. But on that night, I slept so soundly, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. It's a real fadl of Allah. If we're there to worship Allah, Allah Ta'ala will make it a different experience. You come back on the 10th, mashallah, and there's so many more things we have to discuss. But these are small little things that we can learn. That Allah Ta'ala loves, number one, for Arafat, Allah Ta'ala loves our dua. He wants us to make lots of dua. The idea and the concept of a person coming back that a Hajj was accepted is that now they realize that their dua has an impact in the world. They were making dua and dua and dua, and now they don't realize they have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They maintain that. The Allah Ta'ala, right after the discussion about Hajj, a very important discussion Allah Ta'ala has. He says right in the Quran, you find that right after the passage of Hajj, and anyone who knows Arabic should read it. They're like, I was just reading about Hajj. Then Allah Ta'ala starts talking about munafiq. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَا يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهُ وَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. Allah Ta'ala talks about this man named Akhnas ibn al-Shariq. He was a quote-unquote companion of the Prophet ﷺ. He was in reality a hypocrite. Allah Ta'ala exposed him to the Prophet ﷺ. He used to come around the Prophet ﷺ, talk so big game. It's amazing how big he used to talk. He used to say that, don't worry, O Prophet of Allah, I love you so much. I love you. Wallahi, tallahi, billahi, billahi al-azim. And he would swear by Allah, I love you. Allah Ta'ala knows in my heart I have iman. And he knows I'm a Muslim. And you talk so big smack in front of the Prophet ﷺ. And so this man used to brag and brag and brag about how great he was. But at night time, he used to go and destroy the Muslims' property. He used to go and cause fitna and fasad in the world. Akhnas ibn al-Shariq. And so the Prophet ﷺ wasn't aware. Allah reveals his ayat, an entire passage about this man. Saying that what? There are people in the world that will amaze you by their speech. And they will testify that by Allah in their heart they have iman. But they're the biggest arguers in the world. They cause the biggest arguments. In Hajj, we're not allowed to argue. I love that it says about this man, he argues the most. What does this mean? Why did Allah bring this right after Hajj? He said, because people will talk big that I perform Hajj. But where's the walk now? You can talk the talk that you perform Hajj. But where's the walk now that my life has changed? That now I'm not just bragging about I love Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but I really love Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That I really feel for this. I really feel that when I came back from the Haram, I'm like, why did I come back? Why are we even here? You know, the place is like Jannah on earth. It's really like Jannah on earth, the experience that you get. You can literally drink Zamzam the entire day, you wouldn't even feel hungry. One man, he was telling me in our Hajj caravan, he told us that he didn't have breakfast that day. And he was so worried, so he just kept drinking Zamzam. And so he became full because of the Zamzam. He became full because of the Zamzam. He said, the entire day I didn't feel hungry. And then we told him that it's because why? Because Zamzam, if you make dua before Zamzam, that dua is accepted. Most likely before every single time you drank Zamzam, you said, Ya Allah, I don't want to feel hungry. So Allah Ta'ala made sure that you weren't hungry. You don't even need the food there, you don't even need. You don't the sleep there. You and I, mashallah, sleeping in nice hotels. People are just sleeping on the ground. Because why? Because they love Baytullah. A person that they came back from Hajj should recognize and feel in their hearts, Ya Allah, if I can just do it one more time. If I can just do it one more time. If I get the ziyarah of the Haramain Sharifain, I'll cut my hair again. Right? It's not a big deal. Because why? Because we love that place. May Allah allow all of us to go. I give you, inshallah, sorry, apologies for going for so long today. Just a couple of advices for anyone, inshallah, first and foremost, that anyone who's older now, who's from Hajj, it'd probably be easier if you're younger, right? Any young man who's saving up for anything in the world, whatever you're saving for, ignore that. Go for Hajj first. Because when you're younger, it's much easier to go through the walk. And when things don't go right, the bus doesn't go where you want it to go, when you need to walk, you're ready to walk. Okay? That's number one, is that just go for Hajj, finish it, inshallah ta'ala. And you'll enjoy it because you're younger and you have the energy for it. When you're older, it's much more difficult, much more strenuous. And you don't want to be focused on the tiredness, you want to be focused on Allah. The second advice is what? Start walking, ya. Start walking. In New Yorkers, on average, walk 2 to 5 miles a day, daily. Okay, in Hajj, that's just about right. About how much walking you might need to be doing. Tawaf is a walk. You're doing a walking salah, you know? You're actually walking and doing salah. And so you want to do more tawaf. We don't have the energy. Because why? Because unfortunately, in Massachusetts, coming here, I also felt this feeling. And I recognize this now. I'm like, okay, I need to get back to my walking mode. Because the only walking you do is from house to car, and from car to masjid, and from masjid to car, and then walk back. And that's not even, you barely broke any calories, you broke a sweat, you know? We have to start walking again. It's a sunnah of the Prophet for a reason. Allah gave him the best mode of transportation, which is your feet. So that way you can be exercised and healthy, inshallah ta'ala. Start walking regularly, inshallah. And the third thing is what? If you're going there for the mennis, or what they promised you, or whatever happens, I promise you it's going to happen. It happened. I talked to so many people who came back from Hajj on their experiences. Allah ta'ala, what does He do? He doesn't give you what people promised you. Because He just wants to see, are you worshipping Him or not? It's a very ajeeb thing. People are there and getting upset and frustrated. And I'm just looking and I'm saying, Allah is testing us. He's testing you with the 6 hours, the 7 hours. It's going to happen. Just ask Allah for forgiveness. Ya Allah, I didn't recognize it. And now I recognize it. I want a Hajj Mabrur. The Hajj Mabrur, the Prophet ﷺ said, that the reward of the Hajj Mabrur is that a person will receive Jannah at the end. For every single person in this Ummah, Supreme Hajj, Ya Allah, accept all the Hajj, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, give the Hajj Mabrur, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, for those brothers and sisters who haven't gone for Hajj, Ya Allah, make them Hujjaj, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, please write them from the Hujjaj of next year, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Ya Allah, give them the funds and expenses and the heart to spend this money for your sake, Ya Rabbul Alameen. Ya Allah, for anyone who spent for Hajj, Ya Allah, replace all the wealth that they got, Ya Allah. Replace it by 10 times over, Ya Allah. Give them the feeling that they're going to go back to you one day, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. And Ya Allah, please put us in Jannah Fidos next to you, Ya Rahman Rahimeen. Wa sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa alayhi sahbihi ajma'in. For those who make sunnah, can do so, inshallah.